Today on Real Radio.
A shaking has begun in the spirit. What claims to be made a Christian or what is under the banner of Christianity? Everything that says it's of God, the Bible, or Christianity, all you've got to do is mention, if you just invoke his name, the wheels begin. A shaking has begun. You may or may not be true. You may or may not be a real believer. The shaking has begun.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. For the past few months, we've been in this series that Pastor Jack's bringing to a close, the You Need to Know series. It's aimed at helping us become a disciple through the doctrines of God by helping us understand what we believe and why we believe it. Today, Pastor Jack addresses the issues that originally inspired him to bring this series. He recaps where we've come and has a challenge for us in the end. And now here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
When you draw near to the Lord, he prepares you for things that are coming. Several weeks ago, when the Supreme Court made their decision, this church was not rocked. We knew it was coming. I had pastors this last week at the Calvary Chapel Senior Pastors Conference, pastors from all over the world and pastors from all over America. They made a beeline to me. What do we do now? What do we do now? What do we do now? What are you going to do? I say, listen, we've been standing in this river since 2007. This is what you do. It's quite amazing. What's the answer? The greatest need at this hour is to draw nearer to Jesus. Listen, you're not going to find that in a conference. You're not going to find it, there's no app for this. It's literally, and if you want to, get on your knees and say, Almighty God, Lord Jesus, draw me nearer to you. I am willing right now, Lord Jesus, from this moment on. God, I want to be completely consumed by your presence. I want to know your word. I want to move. I want to leave off the sins that have so easily beset me. And I want to move off with you, God, to wherever you want to go. I'm done with this world. God is so good to us. He's sending us one after another warnings to the house of God. Cut yourself off from the world. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying board up your home and become a monk. Nobody gets saved from the ministry of a monk. I was going to say stop monkeying around, but that's the gospel in you and the Holy Spirit is resilient and powerful beyond your imagination. Get up and get out into the world and rescue it. There's a world dying, but how do I do that? Draw near to Jesus. The Bible says, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. It's amazing to think he'll galvanize you. You'll be alone with God. And God will infuse you into your world with a purpose. The Bible says, David had this. I can't wait to meet him. We're going to meet him. Oh man, what's it going to be like? He's an amazing man. I mean, he's a sinner like us. We know. Just ask Bathsheba. Right? Or Uriah, the guy he killed. But David said this. Hallmark statement. Psalm 27, verse 4. If CNN stuck a microphone in his face, this is exactly what he would say today. This is exactly what he said back then. This one thing have I desired. David, with all of your exploits, killing lions and bears and giants, cutting Goliath's head off, which we've read the Bible carefully. You used your sling and your stone. It struck him in the head. It apparently knocked him out flat on the back. Read the Bible carefully. The stone didn't kill him, ladies and gentlemen. David cut his head off. That killed him. It's hard to live without a head. Church is trying to live today without its head, Jesus, and it's not working. Little David got on top of that massive giant, and he took the giant's sword, and remember, he's a kid. He had to set that blade on his throat, turn it up, big blade, massive sword, massive. And he had to just kind of take the time to saw through that big fat neck of Goliath's. That had to be something. blood going everywhere. The Bible says David took that head and you couldn't part. David took that head and he hung onto that head. See, little, you know, some kids drag around their, you know, their little doll or something, or their transformer. David's dragging around his head. See, that's very gross. Well, okay. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. What is it, David? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Yeah, for why? What's the deal? Listen, everybody, please. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Listen, look at it, look at it, look at it. Look in the screen, look in your Bible. One thing. No more money, no more girls. No more murder, no more war. Not in my life anymore. Nope. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that's what I'm going to dedicate my life to. I'm asking you today to make this commitment to God at the end of this series here, that you say today, in the silence of your soul, you say today, God, this one thing I will seek after. I'm asking that. Listen, God's asking that of me, and I'm going to transfer that over to you as well. Join us. Join me. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. You know what's shocking about this? Is when you read that at first glance, you think that there's going to be a day coming in the future that David will dwell in the house of the Lord. Maybe he's talking about heaven after he dies, right? No. This is awesome. David is saying, this is it. I want to seek God so, so much that the dwelling place of God is my very life. And if I get, no, remember, David was not allowed to go into the temple. Do you guys all get that? What's he talking about? David, you're not a priest. You can't go in. That's reserved for the Levitical priesthood. You can't go. You know what David would have said? I could care less. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, listen, David says, I don't care about that stuff. I don't need any gown. I don't need no mitre hat. I don't need that. I don't need any breastplate. This is David speaking. He said, this one thing I've desired, and that's what I'm going to seek after. Now, and it doesn't matter if it's now, tomorrow, on my dying day, or all time and eternity, I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I will be living with God ever before my face in a day-to-day, real, living relationship with Almighty God. And I don't care if I'm in a temple or out of the temple. I don't care if I'm bedridden or on a mountaintop. I don't care if I'm living in this world or in the world to come. It's the same, David was saying. It's the same relationship. No wonder the Bible says Christ dwells in you, Christian. You don't need a temple. Your body's the temple of God. Number two, a great divide is underway. A great divide. And it's a good thing, ladies and gentlemen. I know many of you are feeling the sting of this. I've heard you. We've talked. But there's a great divide that's underway. And it's a good thing. What do I mean by that? God is cleansing his church. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but it was going on before then. God's, listen, Christian, are you Christian today? Listen carefully. You're going to walk through the fire. You say, well, aren't we going to get raptured? Well, I hope today. But if it's not today, you're still going to walk through the fire. You're still going to experience this. You say, what are you talking about? It's this. God is preparing you and I for heaven. He's working in our lives. And a shaking has begun. I'm not a prophet. I'm just telling you from the Bible. I'm just regurgitating the Bible. I'm telling you right now. Mark it down. You may disagree. I'm asking you, just write it down. A shaking has begun in the spirit. What claims to be made a Christian or what is under the banner of Christianity, everything that says it's of God, the Bible, or Christianity, all you've got to do is mention, if you just invoke his name, the wheels begin, a shaking has begun. You may or may not be true. You may or may not be a real believer. The shaking has begun. Family, life issues, health, the shaking, it has begun. The Bible says that judgment must first begin at the house of the Lord, says Peter. In fact, I think it's a verse. Do I have that verse in my notes? I do somewhere, I think. I think it's 1 Peter 4:12. Dear friends, he said, 1 Peter. In the New Living Translation, it's just really clear. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ. Listen, are you willing, friends? Are we willing to do this? Partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when he is revealed to all the world. So be happy when you are insulted for being a Christian, for then the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder or stealing or making trouble or prying into other people's business or affairs. If you do those things, you're not being persecuted. You're just dumb. Verse 16, but it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with God's house. And if judgment begins with us, what terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed the gospel or God's word. It has begun. I have no doubt about this. If you claim to be a Christian today, a shaking is going to take place in your life. If it hasn't started already, it started in mine. And listen, it's designed by God. That fiery trial, when you go to lean back, are you going to lean on the word? I hope I'm wrong, but in a group this big, it's possible that there may be one of you, someone in here today, you lean back, and you never knew what you claimed to believe. You never knew personally the God of the Bible. A shaking has begun. John says an axe is laid to the root of the tree. It's a testing. It's a good thing. And I want to ask you, how do you know if you're going to survive what's coming? Because it's already begun. Look, this thing about, this is amazing. This thing about the gay marriage deal, that's just nothing. You know, it's dividing our home. Just wait. This is the tip of the iceberg. You think this is it? Oh, my dear friend. You'll never survive without Bible doctrine. Matthew 7:19, Jesus says, every tree that does not bear fruit, good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, their lifestyle, their living, their words, their how they spend their money, what they do, you'll know them. Isn't that amazing? I thought we're not supposed to judge. No, the Bible says we're not supposed to judge. The word is condemn. You're not supposed to condemn anybody. You and I don't have that authority, but we are supposed to be fruit inspectors of everybody. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Mark it. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, listen, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Notice, it's not you doing miracles and charisma. Did you ever know him? And for time's sake, listen, mark this down, but I have to press forward and end. Bible doctrine, number three, you guys. Bible doctrine. Learned in humble submission to the Holy Spirit is the right order for spiritual effectiveness. This we see under the power that comes from an unlikely source. An invisible, non-nuclear power. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, listen to this. How important is it? The Bible says they continued steadfast in the apostles' what? Doctrine. And in fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. The Holy Spirit will accompany the Word of God. More Bible in you, more power. Why do you not have power? Because there's more Twitter in you than Bible. There's more time. There's more time spent in Facebook than Bible book. Let's be honest. Let's call it for what it is. Why is there so much sin in my life? Because there's too much ESPN in your life. Seriously. There's nothing sinful about those things, I don't think. We make those things sinful. Look, you can have a dollar bill in your wallet right now and convert it into an act of sin. Or you can redeem it and make it into an act of righteousness. Can you? Right? Can you do that? Absolutely. We are weak. We are struggling. We are victims of sin because, listen, we make it like that. It's what we want. Because we're willing to live in this mediocre kind of Christianity. And we bounce from one crisis to the next. And that's not God. And it's not what he wants. And then quickly, the doctrine of the Bible, the teaching of the Bible, is what will carry you along safely until the end. How will you know what's true or false? I think you now know the doctrine of God's word. And this is where we land. Number five is knowing the person of God. Listen. I don't know, but I'm guessing I might have uttered the word doctrine 1,000 times in this last 7 months. I'm sure I'm exaggerating. It feels like it. But doctrine, right? Aren't you kind of sick of it? Doctrine. The doctrine of soteriology. The doctrine of eschatology. The doctrine, the doctrine, the doctrine, the doctrine. And here's my thrust. Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, listen, guess what? It wasn't the point. For these months, it was not the point. It's not where we land. You want to know why? If I just challenge you to know doctrine, listen, you can know all the doctrines of the Bible perfectly and wind up in hell. This is the doctrine of God. This is to introduce us to the person of God. This is not God. This is to introduce us to God. It's the person of God that doctrine takes you to. And this is the point. Doctrine should be the fence. That inside that fence is your passionate relationship with Almighty God. God doesn't want theologians. He wants to have a relationship with you. Inside the safe confines of doctrine, a journey begins to experience, I say that word carefully, to experience God. Do you experience him? It's the doctrine that builds the fence that you go into the gate and you shut the door because you know what is desirable to God and you... Listen, need no book at that moment. You need no light. You need no pen or pencil. You literally get before him and you say, God, now, the God I know in my head, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Possess me, Lord. Take my existence and make it yours. God, transport me from this world. And infuse me into the world that is dying in front of me. To practice the presence of God. This whole series wasn't about just the theology. It was the theology to get you inside the fence. That you might know God. Church, stand as we close. I want to read this to you. Stand, and I want to pronounce this blessing upon your life. The Word of God says... For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with all might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, and that you may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power of God that works within us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. So then, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before his presence of his glory with exceeding joy. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Yet God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So then we now are looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, our inward man is being renewed every day. For these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, is working within us a far more exceedingly eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but we look at the things that are not seen. For the things which are not seen are eternal. And now we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are being sanctified. And all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called It's Time to Do What You Know, a special lesson in which Pastor Jack recaps with us the entire series we just went through over the past few months. It's a series called You Need to Know. Pastor Jack helps us to understand through the doctrines of God what we believe and why we believe it. It's a series that really helps both longtime and new believers grow closer to God. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, Romans 8:31 tells us that if God is for us, then who can be against us? Still, even when we know down deep inside that that really is true, we often shy away from taking a stand for our faith. How different it was for Peter and the early Christians who boldly preached the gospel in spite of hostility and persecution. It's possible today. The more we know about the Bible and what Jesus has done to set us free, the less fear we're going to have sharing our faith. It's why Pastor Jack has his very own YouTube channel. You can stay up to date with the latest sermons from Pastor Jack, learn about all sorts of different topics when it comes to the Word of God, and also spend some time learning about our Christian worldview. Join the thousands who've already subscribed to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. Be sure to click on the notification icon for videos he's recently updated. The name of that YouTube channel, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, and you can access the channel through YouTube or at his website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.